All right, Jeff, let's say good morning. Good morning. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. I just want to pull up the sponsorships. I want to begin by thanking today's sponsors. I'm sorry. So today's daf, first again, today's daf is Lamed Beis 32. We have a lot to do today, so we're going to be picking up on Lamed Aleph on the Beis 31b. We're going to be picking up at the two dots, Kichas Al Haner, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines up from the bottom. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors for today's shiur, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan, Frank and Debbie Spector, for dedicating all of the shiurim and drashos this month in honor and in deep gratitude to the entire Kehila. Paul and Kathy Pollack for dedicating the shiurim and drashos this month in memory of Paul's father, Shmuel ben Zecharia, his mother, Sarah Bas Avram, and great-grandmother, Cyril Bas Reb Dov. We thank today's Dafyomi sponsors, Josh and Jen Erez, for dedicating the shiur in memory of Miriam Bas David, Josh's grandmother, and Heshi and Sandy Schoenfeld and Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld for dedicating the daf today in the merit of an Aliyas Neshama for Mr. Schoenfeld's mother, Selina Schoenfeld, Sarah Leah Bas Moshe Halevi. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamas will have an aliyah and the families a nechama. And I will say with that, let us begin. Beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead. I will say, I just want to tell you, going into every daf is beautiful, but it happens to be that the next couple of days are as you saw already yesterday, are truly transformative Gemaras. So we pick up with some still Hilchos Shabbos, Kichas Alanas. I will say, remember again, going back to the Mishnah, so the Mishnah read as follows. Remember, so the Mishnah, last Mishnah we spoke about, so focus on the concept of extinguishing the candle, or extinguishing the ner, as we call it, for a variety of different purposes. So the Mishnah pointed out over here as follows, that Kichas al ner, Kichas al Hashem, and Kichas al psil, I'm just reading to you from the Mishnah. If a person extinguished their fire on Shabbos, in order to what? To go ahead, save the ner, because they wanted to preserve the ner. Remember, the ner is the earthenware receptacle which holds the oil on the wick. Or he extinguished the flame, kichas al Hashem, he wants to save oil. Or kichas al psila, he wants to save the wick. So remember, the Tanakhama says chayiv. So the Mishnah rules chayiv, because remember again, as we already established a few days ago, our Mishnah paskins like the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a malacha she'ino miskavim is going to be chayiv. However, Rabbi Yossi said, Rabbi Yossi poter bikulam, chutz min ha-psila v'neshu osepechem. Rabbi Yossi says, you're poter in all of these cases. That if you go ahead and you extinguish a flame in order to go ahead and preserve the ner, the receptacle, or the oil, ultimately, again, you will be poter. You are poter for that. That's cool, okay? However, if you go ahead and extinguish it in order to preserve the wick, ultimately, again, right, ultimately Rabbi Yossi says that you're chayiv. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Rabbi Yossi kiman sirile. Who does Rabbi Yossi hold like? Ik Rabbi Yehuda sirile. If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a malacha shena tzricha gufa, the gufa is chayiv, which means we'll say that ultimately, again, if you do a malacha not for its intended purpose, that you're chayiv. If that's the case, afilu b'hanech nami l'chayiv. The Rabbi Yossi should hold that you're chayiv in all of these cases of extinguishing. The Rabbi Shimon sivurele, but if you hold that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a malacha shena tzricha l'gufa is potter, then what? The Gemara says psila nami l'potter. Then even if you're extinguishing the flame to preserve the wick, you should also be potter. Amar Ula says no. The olam k'Rabbi Yehuda sivurele. Really, Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Huda, in which case, halacha lamaisa, Rabbi Yossi will hold that even a malacha she'ina tzricha l'gufa, even a malacha done not for its intended purpose, ultimately, again, is still considered a malacha. If that's the case, because of Rabbi Yossi, sosar amanas livnos bim komo havi sosar, amanas livnos shalo bim komo lo havi sosar. We'll say, so this is quite fascinating. Rabbi Yossi holds that the act of extinguishing is an act of soser, an act of demolishing something. So the halacha is as follows. Stira, demolition, is one of the 39 malachos. One of the 39 malachos. However, again, there's a shayla that stira by itself, the act of demolition, is really only chayv. Now, we'll say now, the problem, of course, with saying that demolition is a malacha is what? Malachos in general are considered to be or need to be constructive in nature. But demolition is destructive in nature. So it's very simple. The only type of demolition you're chayiv for on Shabbos is stira al menas livnos. If you deconstruct something on the condition ultimately again to build something. Now here's the interesting question. Do the demolition and the subsequent construction need to take place in the same place or not, in the same location? So apparently the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Yossi holds that the only time you're chayav for demolition is if you're going to build in the same place. But if you're going to demolish something in location A and build it in location B, then halacha l'maisa you're not chayav. Rabbi Yossi holds, listen to this, Rabbi Yossi holds the act of extinguishing a flame is stira, is demolition, but obviously a flame is mobile. Flame is mobile. Therefore what? Therefore, halacha l'maisa, you extinguish it in location A, you're going to rekindle it in location B. That's not called stira. That's not called stira. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rabba, michti, but I don't understand, is that true? Is that true? That in order for something to be called demolition, you have to go ahead and demolish it and rebuild it. So also just understand, in the case of a flame, the act of demolition is extinguishing, and the act of rebuilding is rekindling. Because the flame is mobile, the assumption apparently Rabbi Yossi is making is that halacha l'maisa, the extinguishing and the subsequent building will take place in two locations, in which case one will not be chayiv. To which the Gemara says, Amar le Rabba, michti, komalachas yofin alei mishkan. But I say, this is incredible. Where did the malachos come from? The malachos come from the Mishkan. V'hasam, sosir amanas livnos, shalobim komon. I will say, in the Mishkan, where was their demolition? Where was their demolition? Very simple. When they would deconstruct the Mishkan. We'll say, why would you deconstruct the Mishkan? Only to what? Only to move. Only to move. So we'll say, so if that's the case, the paradigmatic example of stira, of demolition, is demolishing something in one location in order to rebuild it in a second location. So is that not the paradigmatic example of stira? Amar lei shayni hasam, kevan dechsev api Hashem yachanu, kisosu amanas livnos bimkomo damir. So this is a beautiful answer. The Gemara answers, since the Pasuk says that Klal Yisrael would only travel on the word of God, I was about to say, Klal Yisrael never made their own travel plans. Where did Klal Yisrael travel? Wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them. So therefore, I will say, it was considered to be as if you were deconstructing and reconstructing in the same place. Why? Because wherever we went was based on the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it wasn't considered to be deconstructing in location A, reconstructing in location B. Since all traveling was done by the word of God, it was all considered to be one location. I would say, isn't that an incredible idea? That when you travel in life based on the word of God, it's one long journey. It's one long journey. An incredible Yisrael, we're all on that journey, and Halavai HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just guiding us on it. Rabbi Yochanan says, so that's the first approach. So the first approach ultimately is that Rabbi Yossi really holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, Melacha Shenetzricha L'Gufa will be Chayiv. And ultimately, again, if that's the case, then why does he exempt? Ultimately, because he holds Soser Amanas Livnos has to be done in the same location. Good. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar the Olam Rabbi Shimon Sverli. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. In reality, Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon. Namely, that Amalacha, Shenet Zvicha Legufa, is not going to be Chayiv. If that's the case, U'mayshna Psila. So if that's the case, why does Rabbi Yossi hold that if you extinguish the wick in order to preserve it, well, that's what it sounds like, in order to preserve it, that you will be Chayiv? So we'll say, what's the case over here? The case is ultimately, again, where you're trying to singe the wick. Your intention is to singe the wick. I will say, now remember again, why do you want to singe the wick? We spoke about this a few days ago, because this way, when you singe a wick, when you subsequently relight it, it relights in a little bit of an easier fashion. We'll say, in that case, even Rabbi Shimon would normally hold that halacha l'maisa, a malacha shein etzricha lagufa is not chayiv. He agrees that when your intention is to singe the wick, you will be chayiv. Why is that? To come and takin mana, because you're quote unquote fixing something. And the moment that you fix something is the moment you're doing something constructive, and therefore halacha l'maisa have been in violation of a malacha. Amarava dekanami diktani shu ose pechem. The lokatani when they shenas as pechem shlamina. And also you can see this because what's the lashon of the Mishnah? Because the lashon of the Mishnah was because when you extinguish the wick, you make charcoal. Pechem literally means charcoal. And it doesn't say because it has been made into charcoal. The idea being over here, Rashi says, "Shu ose pechem, shu miskabin mamish la'asosak min pechem." That's the intention in this case. The intentionality over here is you want the wick singed. When we say, when you want the wick, so to speak, turned into charcoal, this way, again, it burns a little bit better next time. Okay, so I'll say, so ultimately, again, machlokes exactly what Rabbi Yossi is holding. Is he holding like Rabbi Yehuda? Is he holding like Rabbi Shimon? But also I will tell you something very important, which is that halacha lemaisa, in all of these cases, in general, we hold that if one performs a malacha sheina tzricha legufa, that ultimately, again, one will be pater. One will be pater. Now, also remember again, pater means pater aval aser. So, for example, anytime you do a malacha, and you don't do it for the quote-unquote halachically intended purpose. So meaning you do something, and obviously it has intentionality, but it doesn't have the intentionality as defined as the paradigmatic purpose for this malacha. One does not transgress biblically. But also just to illustrate this, the simple example is, remember, is I want to drag a bench across my backyard. So I drag the bench, and what do I end up doing? I end up creating a furrow. Now, the act of creating a furrow, by definition, is, well, actually, that's a bad example. That's a bad example because that's a darshin of miskavin. That's unintentional. So that's maybe the wrong example. But the idea is, you're performing, well, the truth is, it's the Mishnah. I go ahead and I extinguish a candle because I'm afraid of the Gentile neighbors. Let's say, natsakanas nefashas. So I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbos. But I do it. So again, one does not biblically transgress because one has not performed the malacha for the paradigmatic purpose. But because I have done something constructive, I've extinguished something, therefore, by definition, I will be chayiv midrabanan. The only exception to this rule is if you purposely light a wick and extinguish a wick, or purposely extinguish a wick in order to make charcoal, quote unquote, which means in order to singe it, to allow it to burn better later on, then I will be chayiv for a constructive malacha because I have actually created something. Okay, we're going to see these sugyas of malacha shenet zricha l'gufa and davar shenet miskavin in Miras Hashem a bit more in depth later. So the Mishnah, both an incredible and overwhelming Mishnah. Al shalosh averos nashem mesos b'shachli dasem. I will say, somebody said to me the other day, you know, I can't figure out why these Mishnayos sound so familiar. So I said, it might have to do, I think some people might skim this, you know, by Kabbalah Shabbos before Meir, so perhaps you saw it in passing. So I said, oh yeah, okay. So the Mishnah says as follows. Ashalosh Averos Nashem Mesos B'Shas Leidasan. A very overwhelming Mishnah. There are three sins for which women die in childbirth. So we'll say again, we'll see exactly what this Mishnah means. What are the three sins for which women could die in childbirth? Al she'inon zihiros benida, bechala, u'bahadlakas aner. If they are not vigilant with the laws of nida, right? So the laws of family purity, bechala, separation of challah from the dough, and hadlakas haner, and lighting candles. So bepashtas rabbos says Shabbos candles. Lighting Shabbos candles. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. Nida mai taima. Why is it that if a woman chas v'shalom is not careful with hilchos nida? Now, as we're going to see, it doesn't literally mean that if a woman is not careful, let's say with the halachos of nida, that she dies in childbirth. What we're going to see is if she's not careful with these halachos, childbirth sometimes is a time in which, again, there can be judgment or accounting for a lack of adherence to these halachos. So nida maitaimo, What's the reason if a woman's not vigilant by nida, by hilchos nida, that chas v'shalom there could be judgment during childbirth? Am Rabbi Yitzchak, he kalkala b'chadrei bitna, l'fichach tilaka b'chadrei bitna. Since she transgressed literally with the womb, therefore again, she could be stricken or punished with the womb as well. So the Gemara says, Tenoch Nida. Okay, so I understand Nida. Chala v'hadlakas aner ma'ika l'meimar. What is there to say by Chala and Shabbos candles? Kididara shahu galilo alei d'Rav Chista. Amar HaKadosh Baruch, Rabban Shalom said, Revi estam nasati bachem, al iske dam hisharti eschem. So this is, you know, this is Chazal's idea, which obviously must have been informed by whatever contemporary science was, that ultimately, again, person's life is dependent on one revius of blood. That apparently a person could lose an incredible amount of blood, but there is a revius of blood that is core, that is central to life. So old Kadosh Baruch said, I gave you blood, and that sustains you. And therefore, what I ask in return is that, again, women be careful with the halachos of Nida concerning menstrual blood. Next half of Lamed Beis. Reishis karasi eschem, I called you reishis, I called you first. Right, al and therefore I command you to be careful with matters of rachis. So we'll say this is the pasuk by Chala. Rachis arisosechem, take the first of your dough and give it to the coin. Neshama shenasati bachem kuruya ner, I gave you a neshama, which is called the candle. Al iskener his heart yeschem. Ultimately, again, I ask you to be careful, to be vigilant with matters of candles, with Shabbos candles. Imatem mekaimim osamutov. If you observe these halachos of nida chala ner, ultimately, again, good. Ve'imlav harinil til nishmaschem. And if not, ultimately, again, I take your neshama. I will say there's an incredible message in this, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us life. Why does Kadosh Baruch Hu give us life? You know, I will say literally again, we're living in times where we see that line between life and death is such a fragile one and sometimes such a thin one. So we'll say, why does Kadosh Baruch Hu give us life? He gives us life in order to accomplish ruchni things, in order to accomplish spiritual things. And what ultimately the Gemara is saying over here is, if you don't go ahead and utilize that life for spiritual pursuits, then I take it back. I gave you blood. I ask you to observe Taras HaMishpacha. I call you my first. I give you a special designation. I ask you to go ahead and separate the first, the Chala. I gave you a neshama, a ner. I ask you to go ahead and create light in this world. If you do those things, incredible. But if you don't do those things, then tell me, what purpose does life have? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us. So we'll say, so why is it that a woman is judged for these mitzvos during childbirth? To which the Gemara says, Amarava nafaltura chadad lasakina. So we'll say, so the Gemara employs a couple of different expressions over here. Rava says, when the ox falls, get your knife ready. So we'll say, you're going to see there's a number of different metaphors over here, and pretty much what they all refer to is as follows. Any time that a person is in a time of sakana, a person is in a time of danger, that's when there's an element of judgment which is present. In other words, if I'm in a time of sakana, that's where there's the opportunity. See, I'm going to say, it almost sounds like that midas harachamim, the divine attribute of compassion, essentially kind of keeps us in a bracha holding pattern. And it's only when there's a time of sakana, there's an element of danger present, that Beis Din Shalmala has the ability to exact retribution for things that I have done wrong. So it's interesting, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look to exact retribution. He doesn't want to exact retribution. But once there's a moment of sakana that's there, and so to speak, that to exact retribution ultimately, again, doesn't require all that much effort. It's almost present in the circumstances. It appears that that's where there's a greater danger. So that the ox falls, if the ox already fell down, get the knife ready. Amar Abaye, tafish tirus amsa mechad machchira lehavi. So we'll say these are all different lashonos. Rashi says over here that if the maidservant transgressed many times, you can go ahead and strike her once. Again, the idea being that once there's an opportunity to punish, so once that situation presents itself, so punishment could be ultimately unfolded for, or unveiled for many transgressions. Rav Chista Amar, Shafke l'Ravi d'minafshi nafa. Rav Chista says, leave a drunk man alone, because he'll fall down by himself. Mar Ukva Amar, Rai Chigra v'izi riyatan. If you have a crippled shepherd and fast sheep, Abav chutra mili v'abe dari chushpina. Ultimately, again, wait till the sheep get into the pen, and then ultimately, again, the shepherd will catch up. So we'll say, again, these all work. I guess these expressions sound much better without the accompanying English translation, right? Once we're translating this, it kind of loses the flow of the Lashon. So the idea of being able to say that, Rashi says over here, Raya chikra v'izi v'yetan kalim larutz, look at abav chutra mili, kishi ba lifnei gidro son, sham hu medaber ima lahal kosal pisha. So even though the sheep could run away from the shepherd, because the shepherd is crippled, once the sheep get into the pen, ultimately that's where the shepherd has the ability to admonish and to punish. Rav Papa Amar, Abav Chanusa, Nefishi Achi Umrachami, Abav Bizyoni, Lo Achi Velo Rachami. Rav Papa says, when the store is full of merchandise, the shopkeeper has many friends and those who are compassionate upon him. But when the shop is filled with degradation, there are no brothers, right? There are no friends, and there are none who have compassion. So the Gemara was, the idea, just to understand, all of them are just expressing this yisod in different ways, but the concept ultimately is that this is incredible. The Midas HaRachamim, the divine attribute of compassion, says, I don't want to punish Cheshbonos. I don't want to punish. I don't want to punish. But when a person is in a time of sakana, and that sakana is acute, so the and that seems to be a moment where ultimately, again, the Beis Din Shalmala has the opportunity to go ahead and hold the person accountable for their transgressions. So for a woman, that time of sakana, the Gemara says, was childbirth. Was childbirth, and therefore it was during childbirth that a woman was judged for her adherence to mitzvot in general, but particularly it sounds like for these three. Chala, nida, chala, ner. So the Gemara says, okay, the gavri hecha mibdiki. What about, okay, so what about men? Let's be equal opportunity here. What about men? So where are men judged? So I understand that moments ultimately that a woman is judged is when she's in the sakana, the danger of childbirth. When is a man judged? I'll say second wide line, Lamed Beis Medalef. This is incredible. A man is judged when he goes over a bridge. Going over a bridge was also a time of sakana. And therefore again, he's judged. The Gemara says, I'll gesher v'sulo. So that's it. So meaning if I avoid bridges my whole life, so I'm going to be okay. There's no element of judgment. There's no sakana. To which the Gemara says, Ema ke'ein gesher. It means any situation where I walk over something like a bridge. Or we'll say, so in other words, any time I put myself in sakana, anytime I'm in a dangerous situation, that apparently is a time that is ripe for judgment. So we'll say the Gemara tells incredible stories here. Rav lo aver b'mavra di yosef ve'akum. Rav never went on a boat with a Gentile. So the Gemara says, why? Amr dilma mifkad le'dina alei umitfasina b'hadei. But we'll say this is incredible because maybe God is going to judge the Gentile and I don't want to get wrapped up in the Gentile's judgment. In other words, if the Gentile is going to get judged and his boat is supposed to sink and I'm on that boat, that means I'm going to drown as well. So he never would travel by boat to the Gentile. We'll say, this is just something to think about because I found this. I didn't have a chance to look into it last night. But this Gemara is actually quite theologically amazing because what the Gemara is also highlighting over here is that it sounds like that it's possible for innocent people to get swept up in the judgment of others. In other words, Rav won't travel by boat with an Akum because what he's essentially saying is, well, maybe the Akum deserves to drown, his boat's going to sink, and if I'm going to be on that boat, then I'm like collateral damage to this. So we'll say, so it's fascinating. In other words, I would have always thought there's no such thing as collateral damage in life. So I don't know. We have to be ma'ayin it, but it's quite interesting. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Shmuel lo aver ela b'mavra de'ispiakon. We'll say, Shmuel would only travel by boat with a Gentile. So you hear this. Rav won't travel with an Akum. Shmuel will only travel with an Akum. Why? So the Gemara says, Amar sitna betrei ume lo shalit. The Satan, the prosecuting angel, cannot judge two nations simultaneously. So we'll say, so apparently it's good to travel with an Akum. Why? Because he's traveling with an Akum. He can't judge us both at the same time. Okay, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yanai Badik Va'aver. But say, listen to this. Rabbi Yanai, before he would get into a boat, would inspect it for leaks. Would inspect the boat for leaks. So Rabbi said, listen to this. So you say to yourself, okay, Shkoyach. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Da Amar Li Olam Al Yamur Adam B'makom Sakana. Lomar She'osin Lo Nes, Shema Eim Osin Lo Nes, Ve'im Osin Lo Nes, Menachin Lo Mizchuyo. So we'll say, an incredible Gemara. So we'll say, why would Rabbi Yanai go ahead and check a boat for leaks? He's Rabbi Yanai. Even if something goes wrong, he should be deserving of a miracle. Because Rabbi Yanai says, don't live your life expecting miracles. Don't live your life relying on miracles. But rather, put in your hishtadlus, put in your effort. Because first of all, a lot of times in life, miracles don't occur. The world runs in a certain way, miracles don't occur. And even if you are the beneficiary of a miracle, again, that could detract from your account of zechuyos. That could detract from your personalistic merits. And a person doesn't want to have to draw on their personalistic merit accounts for the performance of miracles. Amar Rav Chanan Maikra, we'll say, what's the pasuk that supports this idea? Katonti mikala chasadim mikala emes. Yaakov Avinu says that, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm nervous that you perform miracles for me throughout my life. And as a result of that, my personal merits have been diminished. So Rabbi Zera biyom edushu solonafik lebenin tiklin. Rabbi Zera, on a very windy day, would not go out and walk amongst the palm trees. Why? What was he afraid of? People say, it's not an esoteric Gemara. He was afraid of falling palm trees. So he wouldn't walk between the palm trees. No need to put yourself b'makom sakana, in a place of danger. In a place of danger on a windy day. Am Rabbi Yitzhak Beit Rabbi Yehuda, the Olam, so we'll say, so similarly along these lines, the Olam Yavakish Adu Rachim Shalo Yechla. This is how incredible these Gemaras are. Person should always daven that he shouldn't get sick. Person should daven every day that he shouldn't get sick. Shim Yechla, Omrim Lo Habe Zichus V'Pater. Because if a person does get sick, he has to bring some type of merit to extricate himself from that situation. So we'll say, what the Gemara is saying is something theologically fascinating, which is the default state of life is good. The default state of things is that things are good. Things are good. So what you want to daven for in life is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to perpetuate your current state of good. Because once Chas V'Shalom, that good is compromised, and a person falls on difficult times, it requires much more merit to extricate myself from those difficulties than it was to initially sustain the period of good. It's a profound theological idea that I think we're often not necessarily used to thinking about. I think often we daven for refuah shalema. So the Gemara says, don't daven for refuah shalema, but more important than davening for refuah shalema is davening when you're healthy to remain healthy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, life is good right now. I have my health right now. I daven to you every day. Please sustain this. Please keep me in this state. Because if the state is compromised, Chas V'Shalom, the Gemara seems to say, I need more zechuyos to bring myself back up than I do to sustain the present situation where I am. An incredible idea. So the Gemara is in Mikra. I'm going to Oku Mikra, I suppose that supports this. Ki pol hanofel mimenu. So the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, now this is actually talking about halacha lemaisa, that you have to build a fence around your roof. Why? Because you don't want anyone to fall off your roof. A simple idea. Ki pol hanofel mimenu. So the Gemara Darshan's over here, mimenu lahaviraya. That ultimately, again, if a person is going to fall off, he has to bring mimenu. He has to bring a proof, so to speak. He has to bring the zuchus to keep him, to go ahead and prevent himself from having this downfall. So the Gemara says, Tandre Rishmal, ki pol hanofel mimenu, ro izeli pol misheshis mibreshis. Shahari lo nafal, v'akasav kura'u nofel. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Pasuk says, ki pol hanofel, when the faller will fall. Now, hanofel means, we're calling him the one who has fallen, even though what? he has not yet fallen. So what do you see from here? That sometimes a person has a gzera. Could be that Reuven is supposed to fall off the roof. But what's my job? My job ultimately is to make sure that it's not my roof. Maybe Reuven, maybe that's his gzera din already from the beginning of time that he's supposed to fall off a roof. But I have to do my part to make sure that his harm does not come through me. But rather, we go ahead and cause good things to happen through good people and cause negative things to occur through negative people. So we'll say ultimately, or liable people. So therefore, the Torah is telling me it could very well be, keep on off of many means, maybe this guy is supposed to fall. Maybe he is supposed to fall. But I have to make sure that he doesn't fall off my roof. That's my avoda. Also, which is an incredible yisod. The Gemara says there's a plan for everyone. Right? There's a plan for every person. Often that plan is written from Sheshes Mebreshes, ultimately again, from the beginning of time. But Lemaisa, it becomes my sacred obligation to make sure that nothing bad happens through me. So we'll say, so again, I just want to point out, these Gemaras are theologically perplexing, incredibly and overwhelmingly perplexing. I mean, and the good news is we have a 3-day Yom Tov coming, and there's a lot of time. I would encourage you to be ma'ayin into these Gemaras, because this notion even of somebody being called a nofel, right? Somebody's a faller. He's a faller from Shishin. Really? That's it? That's his designation? Of, we'll say this sounds like such a faded existence, fated with a T, not D, right? Faded existence, which seems to go against. So, all right, Emir Hashem, we'll have opportunities to be ma'arech on this as well. Tana Rabbanon, Misha Chalavanat Olamos. We're supposed to listen to this. If someone is dying, someone is sick and about to die, Omrim Lo Hisvada, we tell him to do vidui. I will say now, I will tell you, you have to be very careful how you go ahead and implement this Gemara. It is an incredible zuchus for someone to recite vidui before they die, and an incredible merit for the neshama to recite vidui. But yet, of course, a person always has to approach a person has to approach every chola with a sensitivity. And even if it's clear that someone is going to die, how you talk to them and how you interact with them is incredibly important. But in any event, if someone's going to die, we tell them, do vidui. Shekin kol hamumsin misvadin. Because we'll say anyone who is going to die should really do vidui, should confess their sins. The Gemara says, Adam yotzei l'shuk, yeidome be'enav k'mishenaz shenim sradas radiot. We'll say when a person goes out to the marketplace, he should view it in his eyes as if what? As if he's been handed over to the officer. Now Rashi says over here something very interesting. Domek l'shuk mitzuyim sham merivos ubalei dinim nachem yisrael. This is incredible. The Gemara is talking about the idea that a person has to be acutely aware of the dangers which lurk all around him. So a person goes out to the marketplace. So we'll say, Rashi points out what's so bad about the marketplace. Rashi says over here, so apparently people often used to get into fights in the marketplace, and they would settle disputes in the marketplace. So you could be minding your own business, walking through the marketplace, and mamish, you get wrapped up in a brawl. So the Gemara says, be acutely aware. Remember, I said the theme over here is, so you follow the progression, is the topic is that when a person is in a situation of sakana, that is a time that a person is judged for their misdeeds and their averus. That's when a person is judged. So now we'll say the Gemara talk about people who therefore dafka always avoided situations of sakana. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Davin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you remain healthy," because it's almost easier from a theological perspective to remain healthy than to become sick and to go back to being healthy. Therefore, the Gemara says, ultimately, again, when a person becomes ill and looks like they're going, do vidui. And therefore, the Gemara says, now, be acutely aware of the dangers which lurk all around you. When you go into the shuk, so you should view it as if you've been handed over to the officer, right? The executioner. Because again, recognize the danger that's around you. Chashe b'rosho, a person gets a headache. Yedoma be'enav k'mishin asnu b'kolar. Should view it as if he's been placed in chains. I'll explain this in just a moment. Allah b'mita, the person is bedbound because they're ill. V'nafal yehidome be'inav k'mi shehel l'gardim. That should be as if you're being taken up to the scaffolding to be hung, right? So lidon shekala ola l'gardim, lidon im yesh, I'm sorry, lidon shekala ola l'gardim, lidon im yesh lo praklitin gidolim nitzol, v'im lav eno nitzol. Because it will say once you're taken up to the scaffolding, Ultimately, again, if you have a praklit, praklit means defenders. If you have great defenders, you'll be saved. But if you don't have great defenders, you will not be saved. So Bosa, I think once I want to hear something really amazing. When something happens in life, whether it's going out to the shuk or whether it's a headache, a person should always realize that every situation has the ability to change so dramatically, so quickly. You know, we'll say, there's nothing here that the Gemara is saying that any of us would disagree with. I think the difficult part is sometimes it's hard to live life like this, right? The Gemara says, when you get a headache, realize, you know, can you imagine this? Just realize how quickly this could go bad for you, right? So can you imagine, right? You have a headache, you ask, you know, somebody asks you, or somebody has a headache, they ask you for 3 Tylenol. So you just, okay, here you go, but just watch out, you know, just this could really go south really quickly. He'll say, so the idea is just to be acutely aware. This goes back, by the way, beautiful segue back to what we learned in the Ramchal, right? We'll say, how do you avoid gaiva in life? How do you avoid arrogance? How do you engender anava? Well, one of the ways is you realize how quickly life could change. So just be aware, says the Gemara. So therefore, Gemara says, but if you have advocates and if you have defenders, you'll be okay. So we'll say, get ready for this. We'll say, what are the greatest advocates and defenders you could have in life? Tshuva u'maisim tovim. Let's say the greatest advocates a person has in life is tshuva, repentance, and maisim tovim, good deeds. If you live your life in a state of tshuva and you constantly engage in maisim tovim, those are the things that advocate for you even when you are on the scaffold about to be executed. And even if there are 999 prosecuting angels who want to see you punished, but you have one advocate, one tshuva, one maisim tovim, in order to go ahead and be malam tzchus, you are saved. So Yossi says, even if you have 999 prosecutors, and even an additional angel who's ultimately trying to prosecute, say in this case you have even 1,000 prosecutors, all you need in life is one advocate. All you need in life is one moment of profound tshuva to go ahead and redeem a lifetime of wasted opportunities. And all I need is one beautiful mitzvah to go ahead and save me when I'm on the scaffolding of judgment. It's an incredible yisod. We don't need to be perfect. We don't even need to be amazing. We don't even need to be great. We don't even have to be wonderful. All I need is one advocate. All I need is to say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, look at that one mitzvah. You know that one mitzvah that I did that was really great? That shows you what I'm capable of. So just give me another chance and I'll do more of that. Do you remember that one episode of tshuva? You could see that I have the ability to be sincere. Just give me another chance and that's who I will be. All you need in life is one advocate. Tan Rabbanan, Al Shalosh Averos Nashem Mesos Yoldos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Nashem Mesos Yelados. Supposedly, interestingly enough, now we have a machlokis. The Rabbanan say that there are 3 averos, which goes back to the Mishnah: nida, chala, ner. That women, if they transgress, can die in childbirth. Rabbi Elazar says there are 3 averos, same 3 averos: nida, chala, ner. That women die young. That women die young if they don't observe. So the Gemara says, Rabacha says, ba'avon shemechabsos soas b'neim b'shabbos. Ravacha says, sometimes, again, why Rachmana Litzlan? Sometimes women die young? Because literally, again, they clean the dirt. So Aspenim literally means they clean the waste, like the excrement, off the clothing of their young children on Shabbos. V'yesh omrim ashekorun la'arna kodesh arna. Others say, why do women sometimes die young? Because they call it Aron Kodesh, a closet. So I say, so what does this mean? The Marsha saying over here, that I will say sometimes in life, and this, just understand, this is not limited to women as we're going to see, but sometimes in life, we think that you only have to be vigilant with the big things, but the smaller things are less important. And sometimes the entire nature and spiritual nature and quality of my life, it's not about the big things. We will say the big things don't come about every day. It's the little things that come about day in and day out. So sometimes when people transgress and people trample on the little things, how do you talk about an Aron Kodesh? Which means, How do you respect Torah? So we'll say, sometimes I do the mitzvahs, but I don't respect Torah, or I don't respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or sometimes, again, I cut corners with the little things because I don't think that they matter so much. But the little things are the totality of who and what we are. So those who cut corner with little things, or those who go ahead, the Gemara says, and don't show proper respect to things that are holy. Don't respect holiness. Again, lav dafka that a person dies early, but the Gemara is trying to convey to us that these are important things as well. It's not just vigilance in the big things, but it's how we deal with the little things day in and day out. It's how we relate to Kedusha that frames who we are. Incredible Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shoban Elazar, Omer, Ba'avon Shnei Devarim, Ame Aratzos Mesim. There are two Averas that Amaratzim, ignorant people, die. Ashekorin the Aron HaKodesh Arna. We'll say because they call the Aron, the Ark, a closet. Ba'ashekorin the Beis HaKnes as Beis Am. And they go ahead and they call the Shul Beis Am. They call the Shul like a gathering place. Right? That the Shul is just a gathering place. We'll say, what does this mean? What does this mean? This means that sometimes we trample on holiness and we don't give holy things the right level of reverence. It's not just about what you do, what you perform, how you observe, but it's a how do you relate to Dvarim Shel Kedusha? How do you relate to an Aron Kodesh? How do you relate to a shul? What's your construct of holiness? I just want to point out, can you imagine if the Gemara is saying that people who disrespect objects like an Aron and like a shul dying, the Rebbe will say, can you imagine what the ramifications are for disrespecting people? Or as the Rebbe will say, remember, an aron is holy, but it's a thing. A shul is holy, but it's a thing. So if I have to be vigilant with the amount of kedusha that I and reverence that I exhibit towards an ark, right, towards an aron kodesh and towards a building, then again, how much more so I have to be so careful with the amount of cover that I exhibit towards another person. That a human being, your fellow Jew, is a walking Sefer Torah, is a walking shul, is a walking arad, is a living, breathing manifestation of these items of holiness. So if there's ramifications for disrespect of inanimate holiness, imagine again the repercussions for disrespect of living, breathing holiness. So the Gemara says, "Tanya Rabbi Yosi Omer Shlosha Bit Gemisa Nivro Beisha VaOmer Leshlosha Div Gemisa." Rabbi Yosi says there are three things, so to speak, that check for death in a woman, and others say there are three bonds of death in a woman. Nida Chala Hadlaka Saner Chad the Kreb Elazar VeChad the Kireb Ana. So we'll say again, just different girsaos over here. So remember again. So is it that there are three things ultimately again that check for death during childbirth? Is it three things that cause chas v'shalom a premature or earlier death? These are the two gears as well as in the Rabbanan. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Leolomer, Hilchos Hekdish, Trumos Amaisvis, Hein Gufein Torah. So Rabbi Shimon Leol says that the halachos of Hekdish, Trumos, and Maisvis, these are the essence of Torah. Amud Beis, these are the essence of Torah. V'nimsru la'amei ha'aretz. Rabbi said, now the irony of ironies is that these halachos of Hekdish, Trumos, and Maisvis were given over to Amaratzim. Well, so what does that mean? It's up to every individual to separate out his Shumas and Maestras. Right? In other words, the Bezin is not coming to your granary and separating out your Shumas and Maestras. If you make something Hekdish, it's up to you to deal with that item correctly. So as important as these things are, amazingly enough, they are given over to the purview of individuals, even ignorant individuals. Tanya, Rabbi Nassan, Omer, Ba'avon, Edarim, Imei, Se'isha, Shal Adam. We'll say these are overwhelming Gemaras. Rabbi Nassan says, "In the as a result of the sin of unfulfilled vows, a person's wife dies. Shene'emar, Im Ein Lecha L'Shalim, Lama Yikach Mishkavka Mitachtecha." Because we'll say the Pasuk says over here in Mishlei, if you have nothing to pay, why should your bed be taken out from under you? So the bed being taken out from under you is a reference to one's wife, a metaphor to one's wife. Ein Lecha L'Shalim means, if you pledged something and you did not fulfill it, why should that which is closest to you be taken from you? So the Gemara says over here, that you see from here that what? That a person ultimately, again, who makes vows and does not fulfill them, chas v'shalom loses as well. So just to understand, now understand these Gemaras are, again, there's a machlokas about how literally you understand these Gemaras, but I would tell you just at least on a metaphorical level, it's actually an incredible yisod. What does it mean if you don't fulfill your vows? It means you don't keep your word. We'll say, the truth is, the cornerstone of any marriage is reliability. So if a husband says things and he doesn't follow through, He makes promises and he doesn't follow through. He makes commitments and he doesn't follow through. That marriage is doomed. That marriage is doomed. If you're not good for your word with your wife, if you don't carry through on the promises and commitments you made to your wife, ultimately, says the Gemara, that is a marriage that will not last. Rabbi Omer says, "Ba'avon nedarim banim mesim k'shem kitanim." In the iniquity of unfulfilled vows, Rachmana l'slan, a person loses his children while they are still young. Shene emar, al titin espicha lachti espisarecha, va'al tomar lifnei amalach kishkagahi lamayiktzof elokim al kolcha v'chaval amase yadecha. So what is a maase yadav? What are the things that your handiwork shall adam? Have the omer banav ubenosof shall adam. So I'll say, so ultimately again, the pasuk over here from Kalas, literally, don't allow your mouth to sin. Because if you do so, ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take Ma'asi Adach. And I will say, if you could explain this Gemara in a similar vein, a person who makes Nedarim and does not go ahead and fulfill them, What is that? That's a lack of, like we said before, yes, you're not good for your word, Chas HaShalom, but it also means a lack of consistency. I will say, if there's one thing that has the ability to go ahead and undermine the chinuch and the education that we give our children, it's a lack of consistency. So remember, a neder means I say something and I do it. It's being consistent. If chas v'shalom, I am inconsistent in the way I live my life, in the way I run my home, in the chinuch I give to my children, so ultimately, again, if I'm inconsistent, that undermines my children's growth as well. You know, sometimes banim mesim kitanim doesn't just have to refer to physical life. Sometimes it means a parent could chas v'shalom spiritually demolish their children by simply being inconsistent. Telling my children that one thing is important. Yes, I articulate, this is important, this is important, this is important. There's only one problem. I never fulfill my own words. I'm inconsistent. I don't carry through. I articulate a set of beliefs, but that set of beliefs is not manifest in the way that I myself live. So says the Gemara, if you do that to your children, chas v'shalom, you're causing them to quote-unquote die young. Lav dafka, physical death. But you stunt their spiritual growth through your own parental inconsistencies. So the Gemara goes right there. Unfortunately, as a result of the sin of not fulfilling vows, children die. Divrei Belazar Rishim. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Omer, Ba'avon Bittel Torah. Sometimes, Chas V'Shalom, children could die because parents are Mevatel Torah. Bishlam L'man D'Amr Ba'avon Nedarim Ki D'Amran. So we'll say, if you say that Chas V'Shalom, children die as a result of not fulfilling Nedarim, we said the Pasuk before, L'man D'Amr Ba'avon Bittel Torah Mikra. What's the Pasuk that supports Bittel Torah? T'chsev L'Shav Hi Kesi Espinechem Musra Lo Lakhu. Because we'll say the Pasuk says, for nothing I have killed your children. They have not taken Musr. So the idea of a Musr lo lakhu means a person didn't learn Torah. Because a person didn't learn Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu took the chance. We'll say, so again, I do think, Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, L'man D'Amr Ba'avon Nedarim, Nami Mehacha, L'Shavi Kisi Espenechem Al Iske Shav. We'll say, Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak says, this pasuk can also be a raya, that even for unfulfilled Nedarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes will take children early, because L'Shav, because you said something in vain, you didn't fulfill your words, therefore I took your children. Michti, Rabbi Huda Hanasi, Hainu Rebbe, the Rebbe Ba'avon and Darim Kamar. I said Rabbi Huda Hanasi, Rebbe are the same person. And Rebbe said that children die chas v'shalom because of unfulfilled vows. Basar de Shamei Rebbe Lazar of Shimon. So ultimately, in this, so he changed his position after Rebbe Lazar of Shimon. Pligi bar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yossi. Chad amar ba'avon mezuzah. V'chad amar ba'avon bittel Torah. One said chas v'shalom children die because of the sin of not putting up a mezuzah. And the other said because of the sin of bittel Torah. L'man do'amar ba'avon mezuzah. Mikra nedr shlofanav lo lifnei fanav. L'man do'amar ba'avon bittel Torah. Mikra nedr shlofanav v'lifnei fanav. We're going to see this drasha right now. So pligi bar Rabbi Huda, chad amar ba'avon mezuzah. So we'll say one opinion said children achmar litzlan die because parents are not careful with the halachos of mezuzah. V'chad amar ba'avon tzitzis, and another one said because a father is not careful with the halachos of tzitzis. Bishlam l'man d'amar ba'avon mezuzah. So we'll say if you say that children chas v'shalom die because of mezuzah, d'chsev uksavtem al mezuzos beisach uksid basrei l'man yirbu yimechem mevenechem. So we'll say again, there's a juxtaposition between the mitzvah of mezuzah and longevity for one's children. L'man d'amar ba'avon tzitzis my taima. But I will say ultimately again for tzitzis, How could it be that if a person is that vigilant with tzitzis, chas v'shalom, their children die? My time of Kahana, v'tim Rav Shila, v'tim Shila Mari, t'chsiv, gam b'chnafecha nimtzu dam nefashos evyonim nekiyim. On the corners of your garment, the blood of innocent poor souls has been found. So I'll say ultimately again, those innocent pure souls is a reference to one's children if one is not careful with tzitzis. Ramachem by Yitzchak Amar Leman Damer Ba'avon Mezuzah Namem Mehacha Dichsev Lo B'Machteres Mitzasem She'asu P'sachim K'Machteres. So ultimately, again, literally, not in hiding did I find you, that they made their entrance ways. Machteres literally means like a tunnel. Amar Yesh Lakish Kalazor B'Tzitzis Zochem Hashem Shinbo. So we'll say, so just. I know I'm going very fast here. Jose, I just want to point out just something striking in these Gemaras. So Jose, just to understand, listen to what the Gemara is saying. Nidarim, right? Listen to the things that the Gemara is attributing, chas v'shalom, the loss of children to. Nidarim, right? Unfulfilled vows, bittul Torah, mezuzah, and tzitzis. So nedarim we spoke about before, right? A lack of consistency. I say one thing, but I don't go ahead and execute, right? Bittul Torah, which Rabbi says is the same idea, that ultimately, again, I espouse ideals that Torah is important, yet I don't learn it and I don't live it myself. Mezuzah is the type of home you create. What type of home do I create? And tzitzis, Rabbi says, remember what's the Holy Yisrael by tzitzis? Tzitzis is ureisim also. What type of behavior do I model? So if you understand this Gemara to be teaching us incredible lessons in Chinuch, lav dafni, like I said before, a person doesn't has to look at the statement of the Gemara that children die prematurely as chas v'shalom, a statement of physical death. But it can be sometimes chas v'shalom, a reference to premature spiritual demise. That sometimes we stunt the growth of our own children unknowingly, unwittingly. We're all good people. No one does this purposely. But again, but if I'm inconsistent, I say one thing, but I don't carry through. If at the end of the day, I don't practice what I preach, I espouse Torah values, but I don't learn myself. Number three, I don't build a home of Kiddusha. I don't put a mezuzah up on my door. And number four, I don't wear tzitzis, which means the Rabbos say, not just the physical tzitzis, meaning the reisim also. My children, remember, most of us remember very little of what our parents said. I remember a lot of what our parents did. If I don't see my parent modeling for me the right behavior, then how could I as a child be expected to do more than my parent, him or herself, does themselves? So the Gemara says again, if we're able to bolster ourselves, so again, let's put it in the positive. Be consistent. Fulfill your nedarim. Don't just say, but rather be consistent in what you're going to do. Ultimately, again, practice what you're preached. Don't just talk about Torah. Learn it. Build a home of kedusha. Put up the mezuzah. And where it sits is, go ahead and model the right kind of behaviors. If we do these things and we have an opportunity, Emir Hashem, to have a dramatic impact on our children. I'll just finish the two dots. Then we'll have to stop for today. The Gemara says, Amar Yesh Lakish Kalazar B'Tzitzis, Zohar Misham Shem Botlo, Beis Alafim V'Ches Mios Havadim. Anyone who's careful with Tzitzis, in the Messianic era will have 2,800 servants. Shnei Amar, Ko Amar Hashem Tzavakos Yom Ha'ima, Asher Yachziku Asara Anoshim Mikol Hashonos Hagoyim, V'Chziku B'Knaf Ishu Dilimor Neil Choyim Machim. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today. But what's the symbolism over here that in the Messianic era, if one is careful with Tzitzis, so ultimately, again, one will have 2,800 servants. So we'll say, what does that mean? What that means is, Rav will say, you know, tzitzis, if you think about it, is a relatively easy mitzvah. Relatively easy mitzvah. You just put it on, and it just sits there the whole day. Not much else to do. But the Gemara is telling us, Rav will say, is that when Mashiach comes, and we realize the reward for mitzvos, and we will realize the reward even for the smallest of acts, the easiest of acts, we'll realize how profoundly lucky we are to have a Torah that is filled with so many beautiful mitzvos, and we will recognize the incredible ease of the opportunities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places before us each and every day. I will say, Shkoyach, tomorrow we are definitely starting at 5:45. We probably should start at 5:30, but I'll give you a break. We'll start at 5:45 minutes with the Daf Shkoyach. Mashi, thank you.